podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
This morning we're going to be talking about the light and how we are the light. So, fun story for you. I had the privilege of preaching kind of last minute in Nicaragua. And you're hearing the smirks already. And so if you don't know, I'm the youth minister here, and I do some things a little differently. And we were talking about being the light of the world. And in my brilliance, turned off all the lights and lost track of the stage and fell off the stage and sprained my ankle to the third degree. Flew home with a black and blue ankle. And so our young people who know me have said, hey, be in the light. You know, if you turn off the lights, remember where the stage is. And so they've had some fun already this morning. And we're going to talk about what being the light really inquires and requires of our lives. So 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 9, says this: "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires, which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify the God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong, to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul." God, thank you. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the price that he paid, God. God, as we look at your word, God, would you speak to our hearts? God, would you soften our hearts? Anything that would distract us, God, that it would be obsolete this morning. God, for the next 20 minutes, that you would speak like only you can, God. More of you, less of me. May the words of my heart and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, if it's okay with you, we're going to kind of walk through 1 Peter 2, 9 through 25, and we're going to actually start at the end, and we're going to kind of work our way backwards, if that's all right with you. So, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23, say this: "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Point number one for you this morning is Jesus has set the example. And so when it comes to being the light, Jesus has set the example. See, God sent Jesus to this earth to live a perfect, holy life. And so when it says that he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth, there was nothing that they could really put against him. There was nothing that they could chalk up that he had done wrong. And then it goes, when they hurled the insults at him, he did not retaliate. When they insulted him, he didn't yell back. I wish that was a characteristic of mine. I wish. It's okay. That's what my mom would say. I wish that that was one of my characteristics. When insults are thrown my way, that I would not retaliate back. And ultimately, it should be. And it's something that I should work for and strive towards because Jesus has set the example. But even better, when he suffered, he made no threats. Jesus, Son of God, could have called all of heaven's angels down. When he suffered, he made no threats. He took the suffering. He took the beating. He took the lashes. He took the crown of thorns for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says this. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. We should imitate Christ in all that we do, in all that we say. We should be imitators of Christ. If you jump down to verse 11, well, we'll jump back up to verses 11 through 17. It says this, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world, abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to the governor who has sent him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the king. Point number two is we must play by the rules. If you want to be the light, you've got to play by the rules. And verses 11 through 17 have several of those rules or guidelines. One, abstain from sinful desires. Two, live such a good life among pagans that they see your good deeds and glorify God. Three, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Four, live as God's slaves. Five would be live as free people. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. We must play by the rules. Ephesians, and there's several places in the Bible that's going to give you these rules, these guidelines. And so when we say rules, if you're anything like me, that sounds boring. That sounds like, man, I'm gonna have to live a boring life. But the reality is, I use the word rules, but these are guidelines. These are things that God has put together to protect us, has put together to help us, to guide us, to steer us in the right direction. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32 says, do not let any, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. See, there are rules, there are guidelines, there are instructions that are found all throughout this wonderful book. And if you don't have one, let me encourage you to get one. And if you have one and it's sitting on a shelf collecting dust, let me encourage you to dust it off and get in the book. This book has got wonderful stories, wonderful analogies, wonderful illustrations, wonderful messages that are really put there for you and I to be able to read and learn from. They're guidelines. Somewhere along the line, we as people have said, well, it's not really clearly defined about this. It's kind of a gray area, so therefore it doesn't really matter. I'm going to go ahead and do that. Read your Bible, and you'll see that it's black and white. I don't really think that there's any gray in there. Is there John 14, 15? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Dude, Exodus, 10 commandments. We all know them. That's kind of the rules that we live by. Fun fact, fun question for you. How many of you broken some of those commandments this week? We must play by the rules. If we're going to be the light, we've got to know this book. We've got to know what God has commanded us to do. We've got to know what to stay away from. We've got to know what to cling to. And then if you go back up to verse 9 where we started this morning. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Point number 3 is, and there's actually more verses here, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? That's the one that kind of slaps me in the face. Let's be real. Why do we call ourselves Christians and not do what he's telling us to do? We must play by the rules. And then if you go back, it should be Matthew 5, 48. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We got to play by the rules. Jesus has set the example, and we must play by the rules. The third point for you is you have been chosen to be the light. You have been chosen. And so if I was really good and knew everyone's name here and could properly, adequately say it and had the time, we'd call you out each by name and say, you have been chosen to be the light. If you're sitting in this room this morning, it's because you know that there's a God in this universe. If you're sitting in this room, odds are you have a relationship with that God. Odds are you call yourself a Christian, a believer, a follower of Jesus. And so therefore, you have been chosen to be the light. And in retrospect, you have chosen to be the light. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 is what we base our entire youth ministry off. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. That's what we base our entire youth ministry off of here at Quaker Gap. That's why we're called the Saltines, because we are the salt of the earth. But that verse continues and it says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. You have been chosen to be the light. In the Parker home, we watch a lot of movies. And as we've had Riley, we watch a lot of like kids' movies and cartoons. And we'd like to say because of Riley, but the reality is Ashley and I are kids at heart. And if you know us, you know that to be true. And there's this new movie that came out that we love, Ashley ecstatically loves, and it's called Trolls. And so right off of the title, growing up in my home, we would not have been able to watch that because trolls were evil. That's how I was raised. This movie paints a whole different light on trolls. In the opening credits, it will sing, we laugh, we hug, we sing. That's like their entire life. We laugh, we hug, we sing, we hug, we sing, we laugh, we hug, we sing, we laugh. Gets a little annoying, I know. But that is the basis of who they are. And they have these little watches that light up and go bing when it's time for them to hug. And in essence, in doing that, it keeps them happy and vibrant. And they come in all different colors, and their hair is different colors, and some of them are sparkly, and some, but they are happiness. They are the epitome of happiness. So much so that in the movie, there are, I want to call them gargantuans, but that's not right. Tell me, Ashley. What are they called? Bargons? Ergons? Any? What? Bergens. Thank you. Thank you. It's my audience right now. Thank you. Thank you. Bergens. They're not my favorite character, obviously. But here's how it works. They don't know how to hug. They don't know how to sing. They don't know how to laugh. And so somewhere along the line, the idea becomes we have to eat trolls to be happy. And so they eat trolls annually on a holiday that's called what, Katie? Who was that? There we go. All right. Yes. That's why we get along. Trollstice. It's once a year where they literally eat trolls, and they're happy. And so in the movie, if you haven't seen it, and I don't want to ruin it for you, but we're gonna play a clip.
Never seen it.
Are you serious?
No.
Wow. We're going to play you a clip this morning from that movie. And in this scene, as we set it up, the main troll, whose name is Poppy, who's the princess, soon to be queen, has tried to rescue all of her troll village from the bad people. And at this point in time, realizes that she's failed. And we're going to see if this will play. If we hit full screen.
We get the lights. But Poppy.
You were right, Branch. The world isn't all cupcakes and rainbows.
You with the sad eyes,
Don't be discouraged. Oh, I realize it's hard to take courage in a world full of people. You can lose sight of it all. The darkness inside you can make you feel so small.
What are you doing? The king is waiting. Get those trolls up there!
Sorry, Chef.
Oh, you are sorry.
Show me a smile, then. Don't be unhappy, can't remember when. Last saw you laughing. This world makes you crazy, and you're taking all you can bear. Just call me up, 'cause I will always be there. And I see your true color shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you.
Don't be afraid
to let them show your true colors are beautiful. I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, that's why.
You see is they're in that bin, really going to their death, and she loses all hope and she goes dim, and as a domino effect, as their leader, they all go dim. And so as you sit in a dim room this morning, have you gone dim? Does sitting in this darkness bother you? Does it upset you? Does it disgust you? Because we put these things on these windows to try and keep the light out, but not to get it too dark to where I would fall and hurt myself. But to get a point across to you. And to remind you of point three from our sermon, you are the light. You are the light. And so, step one, two. You are the light. And as that clip plays and she goes dim, my question for you is, can you relate? Are there things in your life that have burnt you out? Spiritually, can you see no end to the suffering or the pain or the misery or the hardship to the point that you have gone dim. As you sit in this room, you're the light. And that light obviously comes from the giver, which is Jesus. Make sure that doesn't burn flowers. And when you light a light, you don't cover it. You don't hide it. You don't put it under a basket. You let it glow. You let it shine so that everyone can see. And so as that clip plays on, little Justin Timberlake, that's who's singing, that's who's the actor. Little backstory for you on the movie. That single character doesn't sing, doesn't laugh, doesn't hug. And therefore, the entire movie, he's dim. And at the end, he comes out and he says, okay, I'm going to sing. And he, in essence, brings them all back. And we won't ruin the movie for those of you who haven't seen it, but Jesus died for you, for your sins, for your darkness, for your failures, your mistakes, your addictions, your habits, your struggles. He died to free you of that so that you, when you ask, could receive forgiveness. And then he chose you to be the light. And if you're sitting here this morning, I believe that you accepted that calling to be a Jesus follower, to be the light. Point two, are you playing by the rules? Because if you're not playing by the rules, then the odds are you have gone dim. Your light isn't shining bright. Maybe you're living in the gray of certain things because, you know what, it's, the world says it's okay. The Bible doesn't really say it. So, have you gone dim? This room is dim. But you are the light. And so this morning as we close, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to encourage you to do something crazy. On the insides of your pews, on the bottom, there's a plastic bag, well, a paper bag. And inside of it, on the inside, so this way, inside of it are little tea candles. There's enough for everyone on your pew. There's actually extra. So what I want you to do is grab one, pass it down. I didn't realize paper was this loud. They're up here too, ladies. I got you. No one's forgotten sound people. There's two in the back. Got you. So as you gather this candle, you'll notice that that candle is not lit. It's out. It's dim. It's not serving its purpose. The question for you this morning is, can you relate to Poppy? Have you gone dim? Is there something in your life that has hindered your light shining? Is there someone in your life that has blown your light out? Jesus, right here in the candle, he's here this morning. Two or more are gathered, he's present. More than two of us here in his name is right here. And so this morning as we close and we sing, carry the light, if I'm not mistaken, send the light, I'm going to challenge you. Take this time to talk to God. If you need to come forward and take some time and talk to God, you do it. If you need to get some things right with someone who's in this room, do it. But I want to encourage you to take this time to talk to God about your calling. You are the light. And Jesus has set the example, and we've got to play by the rules. And so if you will accept that calling, I'm going to invite you to light your candle. And there's right up here is one, and I know you're like, wow, that's going to take a while. You, if someone beside you's got it lit, just like, you know, Christmas Eve service, you can pass the light that way. But don't force someone to light their candle, young or old. Don't force it on somebody. But if this is you, and you're saying, all right, I want to be the light. I am the light. I've been chosen to be the light, and I want to be the light. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to step out of your comfort zone and to light that candle symbolically, saying, I've been chosen, and I will be the light.